Good evening, everybody. As we know, there is a major focus this evening on Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. And in Eretz Yisrael, many have the minhag that they frequent the kever of Rav Shimon Yochai. And I thought it was an opportunity, as many people have asked me, what is this all about? Why do we go to the kever of a tzaddik on his yard site? What is that all about? What's the reason for it? What's the purpose? What's the goal? Forgetting Rav Shimon Yochai in particular, but just broadening the spectrum in general. When we have a relative that we know, the end of Shiva, the end of Shloshim, a yard site, what's behind this minhag, where does it come from? So the truth is that the Ramban, in his Sefer Torah Sa'adam, the Torah Sa'adam is the Ramban Sefer that talks all about life cycle events. So the Ramban there speaks about a lot of Hilchas Nida, he talks about a lot of Hilchas Avelus, different life cycle events that are related to the halachic process. And there the Ramban quotes from the Gaonim, who were before the Rishonim, where he says that one of the Gaonim said that there is some kind of very good reason why they go at the end of Yud Beis Chodesh. So after Yud Beis Chodesh, we put up a matzeva, and then we go and visit. And as we know, as far as the matzeva goes, there are different minhagim. Do you put up the matzeva before Yud Beis Chodesh, after Yud Beis Chodesh, after the Shloshim, after the Shiva? Different minhagim, it doesn't matter. But the Ramban here writes that this is something that he got from the Gaonim. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch quotes it from the Ramban, B'Shem the Gaonim, and says, B'Yom Zayin, in the end of the Shiva, as well as the Shloshim and the Yud Beis Chodesh, he says, Olim the Beis HaKvaros Umevakrinoso. We go, we frequent the Beis HaKvaros, and we visit the Kever, we visit the Matseva, where the person has been buried. And then, this is repeated once again, not only Shiva, but Shloshim and Yud Beis Chodesh, and many people do it throughout the course of the year when they have special occasions as well. However, as much as the Shulchan Aruch quotes as B'Shem the Ramban, the Rambam, the Bar Plukta of the Ramban in many different areas, does not seem fond of this minhag at all. He does not like the custom. Let's see, the Rambam in Hilchas Avil, Perek Dalid, Halacha Dalid, writes the following. Hamilavin oso, those who are milave, those who go along and escort the mace, the niftar, to his final resting place, Omrim lo, at the end of the process, they say, Lech bishalom. After that, he says, Metzayinin as kol beis hakvaros, we clearly demarcate where each person is buried. Ubonin nefesh al hakever, a matseva, the Gemara's terminology is a nefesh. We build a headstone, we mount a stone there on top of the kever. Vat tzadikim ein bonim behem nefashos al kivreim, tzadikim don't need a headstone. Okay, interesting that today we make bigger headstones for tzadikim than they make for anyone else. But anyway, the Rambam says that tzaddik doesn't really need shadivrayim heim heim zechronam. It's not as if we're going to forget the tzaddik anyway. The tzaddik is going to be remembered because we're constantly saying over things in the name of the tzaddik. So you don't need a matseva to remind us of who he was. Okay. Then the Rambam ends off and he says, v'lo yifne adam levaker bikvaros. Surprising comment. Says the Rambam, a person should not frequent, a person should not visit the Beis HaKvaros. You do what you have to do. You bury the mace. You're part of the Chever Kadisha. You're part of the family. And that's it. The Rambam says, we don't do anything more than that. We don't go on special occasions, not the Shiva, not the Shloshim, not Yud Beis Chodesh, and not the yard site. And there were some over the years who took the Rambam's words very, very much to heart, and they took it very seriously. But leaving those words of the Rambam aside, the Rambam also addresses a separate issue, and that is, when we go to a Beis HaKvaros, we know that many people will offer a tefillah. You've seen people come to a Beis HaKvaros with a siddur, with a tehillim, and they offer a tefillah. So the Rambam mentions that as well, and he says as follows. We know that a Beis HaKvaros, there's a certain conduct, there's a certain code of behavior that is expected when one visits a cemetery. So the Rambam says as follows. When you go to a cemetery, it's not proper, it's not respectful to eat there, to drink there. It happens to be every time I go to a shul avaya, sometimes things take a while there, not everybody gets there at the same time. I always bring a case of water in my trunk, because who knows, one of the family members is going to be, many times family members haven't eaten all day, because they've been busy making the funeral arrangements, they're not paying attention to eating, drinking. You get to the Beis HaKvaros, they're out in the hot sun, and nobody thought about bringing water. I mean, it's just not on their mind. So it's the rabbi's job or the friend's job to think about bringing the water. And sometimes that's what we need to do. So obviously it's not what the Rambam means. To eat and drink in a Beis HaKvaros, he doesn't mean that it's a problem to eat and drink there. He just says it's not respectful to go and start noshing around. Obviously if someone needs a drink because they're not feeling well, so you do. Then the Rambam says, Lo korim bahem velo shonim bahem. We do not learn Torah. We do not teach Torah in a Beis HaKvaros. And then he adds on, Lo yelech adam besoch arba amas shel hakever. The Rambam writes, it's insulting, it's disrespectful, it is impolite to daven next to a kever within Dalet Amos. That's what the Rambam says. Why? Because the Gemara tells us we have a concept of loeg larosh. You're basically saying to the nifter, you don't have the opportunity to daven anymore, you don't have the opportunity to wear tefillin and to learn and to do all the mitzvahs that we get to do, so now we're going to put it in his face and we're going to say, oh, we who are still human beings, who are still alive, we have the ability to do all these mitzvahs, and that's what connects us. You, unfortunately, you're not alive, so okay. So that's loeg larosh, says the Gemara. That's not a proper thing to do. So the Rambam says, aside from his feelings in general about visiting a Beis HaKvaros that he says there's no reason for it, aside from that, he says you should make sure not to daven be a Beis HaKvaros. And that is something that is very problematic, because as we know, many people go all the time, and this doesn't seem to be something that we have any objection to. So the Radvaz, who lived around 300 years after the Rambam, the Radvaz takes major issue with this, and he says, I think what the Rambam meant was, the practice in the days of the Rambam was that when they would go visit a cemetery for a yard site, for a shloshim, for something like that, they would exhume the body. They would unearth the body. And they would dig up the ground. They would look inside. And he says, that's extremely disrespectful, says the Rambam, to do that. That's the way of Ovdei Avodah Zarah. You're going to go to a cemetery. You're going to be disrespectful to the body by unearthing it for no good reason at all, says the Rambam. You're right. It wouldn't make sense for us to go frequent the Beis HaKvaros when this is what we're doing there. That's not proper at all. But says the Radvaz, obviously, this is what the Rambam was referring to. But if you go to a Beis HaKvaros the way we generally go to a Beis HaKvaros, you have nothing to be concerned about at all. That is the way the Radvaz explains what the Rambam meant. 250 years after the Radvaz, again, the Radvaz was 300 years after the Rambam. 250 years later, so this is over 500 years after the Rambam wrote his words, this was still a discussion, a fierce debate among the Achronim. Rabbi Shlomo Kluger is one of the Achronim who takes great issue. He fiercely defends the practice of people frequenting a Beis HaKvaros. And he says, I don't understand. How can the Rambam condemn a practice of going to a Beis HaKvaros? After all, we know that this is a strong precedent. What's the strong precedent? Well, what's the strongest precedent you can get for doing anything? What? The Torah itself. What does the Torah say? The Meraglim go to Eretz Yisrael. Kalev and Yeshuv and Nun realize something's not right, something's off, and they're a little bit nervous. So it says that Kalev goes to Davin by Kivri Avosav. It says he goes to Hebron. So the Torah itself tells us that Kalev ben Yefuna felt that it was the responsible thing to do in Parsha Shlach. He felt that it was the right thing to do vayavo ad Hebron. And the Gemara asks, what's he doing in Hebron? That wasn't part of the plan. So the Gemara says he went lihishtatech al Kivri Avosav. He went because he wanted to make sure that he had the opportunity to ask for siyata d'shmaya by the kever of his ancestor. So don't you see already that there is such a precedent? Not only that, we know the Pasuk tells us Rachel Imenu dies, and Yaakov Avinu buries her on the side of the road. And then Yaakov tells the kids, don't think I buried her on the side of the road because I'm disrespectful to your mother. V'ani bivoi mipadan mesa lai Rachel. We're traveling on the road, and Rachel Imenu died. I should have really brought her to a respectable Beis HaKvaros. Why did I bury her here on the side of the road? Rashi says from the Medrash. The reason why is because he wanted to give opportunity for future generations to have the chance, to have the ability to be mispalel by the kever of Rachel Imenu. So don't you see, says Rav Shlomo Kluger, that this is something that has been done not only in later generations, not only in the days of the Rishonim, but this is something that was done way before the Rambam. This is something that the Gemara tells us was already the tradition in the times of Chazal. Again, conflicting minhagim. Some are very strict and they follow the position of the Rambam and they say it just doesn't make sense to go frequent to kever. What are you going for? And others say that the minhag that is prevalent today is something that we can certainly defend and certainly makes a lot of sense. Rav Soloveitchik was of the school of thought that followed the Rambam, that followed the Vilna Gaon, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, and the Beis Halevi, and everyone in that line of school of thought believe that the Rambam's words are correct here, and nobody should be visiting a Beis HaKvaros. While that's true, Reb Soloveitchik famously, when he lost his wife, he said that he went every week for years because he missed his wife so much and he felt the need to go back to the Beis HaKvaros. Anyway, so obviously that's what he says. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a short tshuva, which I find very interesting, where he had a shaila that was sent to him by the community in Akron, Ohio. I think the Liebtags are from Akron, Ohio, if I'm not mistaken. The Liebtags who are in the shul here. I think they grew up in Akron, Ohio. So the shaila that was sent was, somebody passed away and was buried in Akron, Ohio. That's where he lived. Later on, all of his children moved to the tri-state area. They wanted to know, do we have a right to exhume the body, to move it to Akron, from Akron, Ohio, to the cemetery in New York? Why do they want to move it to New York? Because when the children want to go visit the kever of their father on the yard site, they're not going to travel to Akron, Ohio. That's a big schlep. So why not just move the father here instead of moving all the kids there once a year? So that was their shaila. Do they have a right? Is that a justification to move a body and inter the, you know, reinter the body somewhere else just so that the children won't have to travel out to Ohio to be able to visit the kever on the occasion of the yard site? That was the shaila that he was sent. Rav Moshe Feinstein unequivocally gives an answer, and he says, Pashut she'aser. There is no discussion about it. It is absolutely forbidden. There is nothing to talk about. And he said, number one, the reason why is because you're not doing this l'kavod ames. You're only allowed to move a body after it's already been buried if you're doing it l'kavod ames. There's an upgrade for the nifter. So what does an upgrade mean? Moving the nifter to Eretz Yisrael is an upgrade. For sure you're allowed to do that. But moving a nifter from Akron, Ohio to the cemetery in New York, I don't know what's the upgrade. That doesn't make sense. Right, so Moshe, the only reason you're doing it is because you don't want to have to schlep. That's not kavod ames. Kavod ames is you're doing something for the nifter. You're not doing something for the nifter. You're doing something for yourself. You're doing it that I shouldn't have to go on a plane to visit my father's kever. Now, I don't know, I would have said that if we're going to have to get on a plane, we're not going to go at all. So Rav Moshe didn't think that that was the case. It seems that he assumed the children were going to go anyway. They wanted to save themselves the headache. So why travel once a year? We may as well bring the father here. That was number one.
Even if that's the case, so what?
Even so, right, I'm just saying, I'm just pointing out, Rav Moshe says, you're doing this for yourselves, you're not doing it for your father. Number two, he says, even going to the kever, whoever said you have an obligation to do it? So it's a nice minig, people do it, it's a very contested minig, some say you shouldn't do it, some say you should. Rav Moshe said, we're not stepping into this territory, and therefore moving a body, bizayin ames, after he's been buried in Akron, Ohio, that's where he lived, that's where he wanted to be buried, doesn't make sense at all. Personally, I find the whole contemporary study of Mishpat HaIvri. Anyone ever looked into this? There was a dayan, a shofet in Israel, Menachem Elon. Menachem Elon was a brilliant Talmud Chacham.
He was my professor
at
NYU.
So he was a firm person, and he was a very special person. Menachem Elon, when I got married, gave me a wedding gift, 3 volumes called Mishpat HaIvri, that he wrote, which were 3 volumes of work where he tried to say what the halacha would have said for many of the laws in the modern state of Israel, which is a very difficult kind of study to figure out how the ancient halacha is actually going to have to run a country. So obviously this is not always the adopted practice by the Israeli government or by the police force. This is not the way it works, but he's hypothesizing and he's saying, I am a judge, and if I were to make a ruling based on the halacha, this is what it would have been. So the following shaila came up in the Mishpat HaIvri, and the question was, there was a young man who was 20 years old who was on trial for murdering his own father. Terrible story. He murdered his own father. So sometimes these cases take forever to prosecute, but they kept him in solitary confinement until they were ready for the prosecution. They didn't let him out at all. There was no bail, no bond, nothing. He had to stay in jail. So he missed the father's levaya. He missed the Shiva, he missed the Shloshim, he missed everything. Comes to the first yard site, he's still waiting for the trial, and he put in a request that he wants to be let out, that he should be able to go be mispalel by his father's kever. Interesting request. So the judge writes back, and he says, Avar alav hagadol biyoser hakayim biyadus. You just violated the biggest aveira in the world, which is that you killed your own father. Just take it easy. Don't worry about the minhage avelus right now. I don't think that should be your first concern. Going to a Beis HaKvaros in the first place is not a chiyuv. It's not an obligation. Having a murderer roaming the streets is probably not so safe.
So this judge is an impartial judge. He's making a ruling before the court case actually happened that he actually did kill his
father. So it sounds like this young man had admitted to guilt. But they had to go through the process anyway. They just, whatever it was backlogged. So he wanted to go. Anyway, the judge goes back and forth. They find the case fascinating where the boy basically says, but every child does this for their parent. What do you mean? So he says, yeah, every normal child does it for the parent. Every child doesn't also murder their parent and get them in this place. So anyway, it was a very interesting back and forth there. But this is part of what came up in the Israeli court system. They were discussing how much of a minig is it to actually go to the Beis HaKvaros on the first yard site. If it's really something that's so important to the whole family that you be there. And what's interesting is the mother who had lost her husband tragically because of this murder, the mother was advocating on behalf of the son. She said, look, what's done is done. He'll serve his time. He'll do whatever he has to do. But why can't you let him out to be with the rest of the family, to have this opportunity, to have some kind of solace in the fact that that we're all going to get together? Anyway, an interesting shaila, an interesting question. But again, I think part of what they threw in here was, you got to get your priorities straight. On the one hand, you were involved in a tremendous aveira and something that's extremely severe and serious. Stop worrying so much about this little issue over here, about the minhag, that maybe you should go on the day of the yahrzeit to visit the kever of your father. Let's get this all in the right proportions. I was actually thinking about it this past week because my uncle was nifter this past week, a very special person. And he was a kohen. And all of his children, all of his boys, all of his girls are also kohanim, but there's an iser for a male kohen to be metame lemeis. However, the pasuk says when it's his own father or his mother or any of the other zayin krovim, he's not only allowed to go be metame lemeis, but he has to. He has to be metapel in the kvura. So I went to the levaya on Friday. It was in Brooklyn. And then at the end of the levaya, they make an announcement that the kvura is going to be over here in whatever, one of these, Elmont, one of these places here. So I said, look, it's not near my house, but it's closer than my relatives who came in from Lakewood. And then I realized all the grandchildren are Kohanim, so who's going to be at the cemetery? So I decided to go. I come to the cemetery, there's literally four or five men who were able to be involved in the Kvura. Everybody else were Kohanim. Now, Kohanim are allowed to be involved in the Kvura when it's their father, right? So I turned to my cousins, I said, look, there's only a few of us here. You should all be helping us out. So the guy from Shomri Adas says, no, what are you talking about? How can you do such a thing? We know that the Chassidus Sheminig is that the children are not allowed to be metapel with the kvura of their father, nothing to do with Kohanim. No children are ever involved in the actual burying of the father. They let everybody else do it. They stand off to the side. Again, it is such a minig like that. I said, yeah, the minig might make sense when you have 20 other people who can actually bury the person. But here, where there's only four or five of us, it's boiling hot outside, we're not going to be able to do this ourselves, and you have a few able-bodied individuals who are here and able to help us. You're going to tell them not to because there's a minig that chassidim have that they shouldn't be metapel in the kvura? What ended up happening was it got so late, it was Erev Shabbos. One of the children had to go back to Lakewood for Shabbos. The rest of them live in Brooklyn and Muncie, so one of them had to go all the way back. It was a 4.5-hour trip. They realized, what are we going to do? Right, it's getting late already. So they said, the person who was running the funeral from Shomri Adas said, nope. We put enough dirt on, it's fine, let's just move on, we'll do the shiur now and everyone will go home. I said, I don't understand, what a bizayon ames. We have a mitzvah here in front of us of kvuras ames. That's the most important thing. You can't mix up mitzvahs, the araisa, together with minhagim that are based in communities. Minhagim are wonderful, but not when they're at the expense of the mitzvah itself of kavod ames. Look, I didn't want to make a whole machlokes there, but I just said, I don't understand, this is such a bizayon ames in my opinion. Not that anybody cared, but it was, they cared about Bizayon Ames, but they didn't care about my opinion, but I just didn't understand it. I also wonder, when it says that a Kohen is allowed to be Metame, to be Metapel in the Kvura of his father, I didn't have a chance to ask my father this question. So, if you're going to tell the Kohen that he can't do anything, because the minig is he's not allowed to do, so then why is he in the cemetery? What's the heter? The whole heter for him to come is because he's giving kavod to his father, he's being Metapel in the Kvura, he's doing everything that needs to be done. Here, they're standing off to the side, so what's the heter? The whole heter is in order that they should bury the person. But here they're not burying. So who said you're allowed to come at all? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But that's. I think it's a good taina. I have to ask my father about it.
The whole idea about ninus, for example, is that you're a nun because you're Isaac in the core of the nifta.
Yeah.
It's a big mitzvah.
Exactly. So I don't know. I find that very interesting. The Gemara does speak explicitly about going to a Beis HaKvar. So when is that? The Gemara says in Maseches Tainus that when you have an Eis Tzara, when you have some kind of unfavorable situation that's going on in the community. So it says that the leaders of the community, along with whoever was able to come, would go to the Beis HaKvaros and they would be mispalad there. What is that all about? The Gemara wonders what's the reason for that. One reason the Gemara says is maybe the Mason will have the opportunity to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to petition on our behalf. Obviously, we don't have enough schusim because look what's going on in the community. Maybe we'll turn to schus avos and we'll ask that they should be a schus for us. Reason number one. Reason number two, says the Gemara, is because we want to remind everyone, look what happens. If you don't do tshuva and you don't shape up, this is where you end up. So we want to shock everyone, so that's what we do. That's what the Gemara says. The Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara then says, what's a nafgamina? What's the difference? What the reason is? The Gemara wants to know, if I don't have a Jewish cemetery and there's only a non-Jewish cemetery, so should we go out to the non-Jewish cemetery on such an occasion or not? If it's just to scare people, so what does it matter? Jewish cemetery, not Jewish cemetery, it's scary when you go to a Beis HaKvaros and you see the finality of life. So that's something that's frightening to people. If it's all about having schus avos and invoking the schusim of those Jews who came before us, then obviously that's something that we wouldn't go to a non-Jewish cemetery for. So the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam quote this halacha, but they say the reason why we go to the Beis HaKvaros in such a situation is because we want to say, Hare atem mesim ka'elu im lo tashuvu midarkechem. If we don't do tshuva, we're going to end up like this. And that is the reason to go to the cemetery. It's for the shock feeling of it. We want to make people understand that life is serious. And that's an opportunity that we have to put life into perspective by going to a cemetery. So the Ramah actually mentions this idea in a number of places. The Ramah says that before Rosh Hashanah we go to a cemetery, before Yom Kippur go to a cemetery, before Tisha B'Av or on Tisha B'Av we go to a cemetery. All of that, the Ramah says, is because we want to have that feeling. Rosh Hashanah is a serious time. Sometimes we're very busy. We don't have a chance to think about the seriousness, the severity of the Aseret Yemei Teshuva or Rosh Hashanah. So by going to a cemetery, will put us in the right frame of mind. It will give us perspective that life is serious. Erev Yom Kippur is the same thing. Tisha B'Av is the same idea. And that is why the Ramah quotes this minhag in a number of different places. What's important to keep in mind is that whenever one frequents a cemetery, whenever it may happen to be, whether the minhag is justified or not, but many people go, whenever one does that, the Be'er Heitiv, in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, when he comments on that minhag of the Ramah to go on Erev Rosh Hashanah, the Be'er Heitiv writes in the name of the Maharil, HaMispalel al Kivrei HaTzadikim, one who goes to be mispalel by the kever of a tzadik, al yasim migamaso neged hamesim. Don't forget that you're not putting your faith in the person who passed away. My belief is not that this mace can actually do something for me. I go to the cemetery because I'm asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should have rachmanis on me in the merit of those who are buried here. Not because I'm praying to the Nifter. Not because I'm asking the Nifter to pray on my behalf. But rather because I want to invoke the schusim that this individual has accrued throughout their lives. After all, we know the Rambam says in the Ani Mamins, Yud Gimel Ikrei Hamuna, that we believe we have a right to daven directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo levado roi lehispalel. We offer our tefillah not to anyone else, but to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'ein roi lehispalel lezulasa. We don't need any other intermediaries. We don't need anyone else getting involved. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy to hear from us directly. And when we go to a cemetery, we need to remember that we're not offering a tefillah to the one who is buried there, but rather to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the merit of the person who is buried there who lived such a wonderful life. So a similar mistake that is often made is that sometimes when people have a challenge in their lives, sometimes when they go through something difficult and they don't know exactly what to do, so they run to a tzaddik to get a bracha. So where does that come from? What is that all about? So it's interesting. The Ramah actually writes about it in one of his svar. So the Ramah says, commenting on the pasuk by Yaakov and Rachel, we know that Rachel was an akara. Rachel was unable to have children. Vateira Rachel ki lo yalda le Yaakov. Rachel saw that life is moving ahead. Her co-wives are all having children and she is unable to. Vatomer al Yaakov havali banim. And she turns to Yaakov and she says, I would like to have children. V'imayin meisa anochi. A woman who doesn't have children feels inadequate, feels uncomfortable. Vayicharaf Yaakov beRachel. Yaakov gets very upset. Vayomer hasachas elokim anochi. Do you think I'm God? What do you want from me? I'm not the one who's holding you back from having children. We're trying. But what should I do? Writes the Ramah as follows. Shelo lasim emtsoi. The problem that Yaakov Avinu had here was, Rachel, hasachas elokim ani. You think I'm in the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? This is what he means when he says that he's uncomfortable with what she's saying. How could it be that you're asking me to give you children? I'm not the one who has the ability to give you children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one. I may be a great tzaddik, I may be the child of great tzaddikim, but what does that help? Now the problem is that the Ramah himself in Yerudea, Simin Shin Lamed Hei, Sin Hilchos Avelis, writes, Yesh Omrim, Mi Sheyesh L'chola B'soch Beiso, someone who has a family member who is not well, writes the Ramah, Yelech Eitzel Chacham Sheba'ir, Sheyivakash Alev Rachamim, says the Ramah, you should go to the Chacham in the ear, and you should ask the Chacham to be Mevakish Rachamim. That's based on the Gemara Maseches Baba Basra, Kufta Zayin, where the Gemara says that's the protocol. Something's going wrong, that's what you do. You go to the Talmud Chacham in the town, you go to the Tzaddik, and that's the person you should ask to be Mispalo. So, what do you mean? The Ramah just told us that Yaakov Avinu's whole claim was, why is Rachel turning to me and asking me to daven for her? Do you think I'm HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But what do you mean? The Ramah himself paskins in Shulchan Aruch that when you have something wrong, based on the Gemara, it says, you go off and you ask a Chacham, you ask a Talmud Chacham to be mispal on your behalf. So what does it mean? What is that all about? So this is a very interesting question. It so happens that the Meiri, one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, writes on that Gemara Maseches Baba Basra a fascinating suggestion, where he says the following. When it says in the Gemara that someone who has a chole b'soch beso, someone who has a sick member of their family or somebody who's having a difficult challenge in life, should go to a chacham, what does it mean you go to a chacham? What are you doing by the chacham? It means, he says, yelech etzel ha-chacham, v'yilmod heimenu darkei ha-tfila. Go to the chacham and see how seriously he takes his tfila, see how sincerely he davens, learn from his way of davening, and then your prayers will be answered. That's what it means. Wow, that takes the air out of everything we do. Most people go to a chacham, they write down their name on a kvittel, they feel great about it, they walk away, everything's great, we'll be okay. No, says the Meir, that's not what it means. What it means is, the chacham's not going to fix your problem, the chacham's going to teach you how to daven. By watching the way that the chacham davens, your davening will be inspired. And by doing so, of course, once you have a more meaningful and inspired tefillah, of course, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to answer your tefillah because you have just offered a far more meaningful tefillah than you ever have before the Chacham had taught you how to do that. So this is a very interesting idea. However, at the same time, the Gemara does say in Moed Katan Daf Tes that there is such an idea of getting a bracha from a Chacham as well. When you have something wrong, you ask a Chacham to give you a bracha. Now, I find something very interesting is, nowadays, we have many people in our community and others who decide that we're not just going to go to the Talmud Chacham for a bracha when we have an issue with, when we have an issue with a chola in the family, we're going to ask him which tefillah, we're going to learn from his tefillah, whatever it is. No. Before I go do a business deal, I have to go ask the Chacham also. You ever met such people? Right? Yeah, they have their people, their mekubalim, they have their rabbanim, they have their people who tell them, every time you do anything, you got to come here. Is there a precedent for that? What is that about? Do we believe that a Chacham has the ability to give insight into matters that he knows nothing about? Is that real? What is that about? So I said in one of my shiurim the other day that somebody took me recently to one of these chachamim in Eretz Yisrael. I was very uncomfortable and continue to be uncomfortable with it. But he asked me to write down the names of my family and all my children. I wrote everything down. He looks at it for literally a minute, tells me exactly what each of my children is like, their personalities. He was 100% right. Tells me about my wife. He was right about everything. Okay, I was very uncomfortable being there. But then he says to me, I'm looking at your name. I know you're a rav of a community, but he says, you really need to start investing. So I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, so what am I supposed to do with this? I said, do you care to tell me where to invest my money? Not that I have so much, but I said, where would you like, it would help if you would just tell me where. What good is it that you're telling me I should invest money? That's very nice, but that's not helpful. So anyway, I just thought it was very interesting. I would never ask, before investing money, I would not ask someone like that. I would probably ask somebody who knows something about the market, right? But we know many people who do. And before they go into a deal, they do ask such questions. And is there any legitimacy to that? Is there any validity to doing such a thing? None other than the Bala Tanya himself, the father of the Chabad Hasidim, has an amazing letter where he actually discusses this. Clearly, there were Hasidim who followed him who used to ask him these kinds of uncomfortable questions. Should I go into this business deal? Should I go into this investment? Should I open this store? Should I have this partner? What does the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Bala Tanya, know anything about business? Nothing. So he writes the following. Ahuvai achai v'reai. L'chu na b'niva chacha zichru yimos olam binu shnors d'avador. He says it's important that we always go back and learn from historical precedent. We should look back in earlier generations. Ha haisa kazos mimos olam. Was there ever such a phenomenon in the history of the world? Aye efa matzasa minigze be'echan mikol sifrei chachme Yisrael harishonim v'ha'achronim. Where have you found in any of the svarim of the rishonim or the achronim lios minig v'tikun that it's helpful and it's beneficial? Lishol be'etza gashmius kedas mala asas b'inyanei ha'olam hagashmi. Where do you get this idea that it's somehow beneficial to ask the rabbi for some advice when it comes to your business? What does he know about business? Nothing. So why would you ask him? He says, even going back to the holies, to the greats, the Tanam and the Amarayim, Asher Kol Razla Anas Lehu, V'Nehirun Lehu Shvilin Derakia, they knew everything about everything, the galaxies, they knew everything there was to know in the world, and yet even them, he says, Be'emes Kalan Yanei Adam Levan Midivrei Torah V'Yira Shamayim, Einam Musagim Rak B'Nevua, V'Lo L'Chachamim Lechem. He says, you go to a Talmud Chacham and you have a question about how you're supposed to learn. You have a shaila. You want to know how to lead your life. You want the Torah Hashkafa. You want to get some kind of perspective from his life experience that's relevant to his life experience. But says the Baal HaTanya, I don't understand. People come to me. They ask me all kinds of questions about business dealings. Why do they think I'm supposed to know anything? Am I a Navi? He says, if we were living in the times of the Nevi'im, then you can ask a Navi everything. Navi has divine providence. He can give you an answer that's based on something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in his head, put in his mouth. But nowadays, he says, we don't have Nevi'im. The Gemara says, but l'hanavua. If we don't have Nevi'im, so then he asks, what kind of thing is this supposed to really be helpful for? And after all, he quotes Chazal, Shiva dvar mechusim ibnei Adam. There are seven different areas of life that are covered, that are quiet, that are concealed from humanity, and that is, Ein Adam yodea b'mei yishtaker. Nobody knows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't come to anyone and say, this is how you're going to make a parnasa. Everyone has to struggle to figure out what's their avenue, what's their hishtadlus that they're supposed to do. If there was one easy fix and everybody knew exactly what they were supposed to do to make a parnasa, how they were going to have money to live, life would be much easier for people. They wouldn't have to have all kinds of trials and errors figuring out which position and which company is really for them. It would be much easier, but that's not the reality. Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not give us the clue. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not allow us to know exactly what's supposed to be. And therefore, says the Baal HaTanya, why would it make sense? Why do you think that the Chacham is going to be beneficial when it comes to questions that have only a relation to Gashmias and no relation at all to Ruchnias? So many will say, no. Every question has a relation to Ruchnias. Why? Because if you're going to invest in this property and you're going to make a lot of money, then the question is going to be, where are you going to give the tzedakah? Okay, that's a separate question. That has nothing to do with this question here. We'll talk about that question later. When you make the money, we'll deal with that question at that time. But to ask the original question, says the Baal HaTanya, he feels is something that really would not be appropriate, something that he really doesn't think makes a lot of sense. Anyway, this is just an interesting discussion that I think is valuable, not only for the Hilula, the Yartzeit of Reb Shimon ben Yochai, but I think it's an opportunity for us to revisit an issue that comes up for us all the time, as we generally have the minhag in our community that we frequent the Beis HaKvaros on many different kinds of occasions. And we just have to know that there are rules that govern our visits to a Beis HaKvaros as well. And it's something that the Achronim discuss in great length. Okay, Mitzvah Shem, we will see everyone next week.